Gentlemen, to yet another exciting, magnanimous, absolutely fabulous, and down diggity right spanking episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on freedomslips.com, Revolution Radio, the listener-supported network, supported by listener-supported show, incidentally. So if you want to donate to either of us, you want to donate and support an entire broadcast platform for like nearly 70 hosts, or just me, you can pick. You can go to either freedomslips.com or you can go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Bear in mind, there's also a lot of archives that don't get broadcast on this radio network. On the homepage at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, there's a little slider there. You can click on the relevant archives and go to them, including videos, presentations, and things that I do on my YouTube channel. Now, it's coming up to Christmas time, so I hope everybody's having a merry, merry holiday season, especially those in 5 foot of snow. God damn, that global warming is sneaky. Now, speaking of sneaky, doing the dirty, and absolutely going into the mouth and the maw and the dirty, dirty belly of the beast, we have a free man, straw man, legal fiction, something or other, round table. There's an awful lot of different labels and what have you for this movement. But there are many advantages, many dangers and risks and pitfalls and things of that nature. And we want to do a bit of a critical analysis for people by getting some of the best minds in the game together for a little roundtable discussion. There's been a little bit of difficulty, and two of our panelists, Rob Menard and Santos Bonacci, have had to pull out, probably for unknown reasons. I don't know. We tried to get Dean Clifford on. He's in jail. But not to say that we don't have a fabulous show and incredible guests for you today. We have, first and foremost, Bill Turner, Bootstrap Bill Turner, from New Zealand, joining us, who's made the videos The Law and You and Don't Get Caught, which you can see on my YouTube channel. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny. Welcome.
Okay, and next up on the line we have the maker of the Corporation Nation and the runner of realityblogger.com. That's Blogger with one G, just in case you wanted to know. I always love giving him grief about it's Clint Richardson. Welcome to the show.
Why, thank you, Vinny, and piss off.
See, we're off to a good start already.
Yes,
and
yes,
our third panelist, the man who's been down to the darkest depths that many can imagine in the Church of Satan, and then come out and come in top of the heap in the natural law game, and actually being able to explain it better than anybody I've ever heard of or even imagined in the world's history, Mark Passio from whatonearthishappening.com. Mark, welcome to the program.
Vinny, thank you so much for inviting me to be here tonight.
Okay, so we have a number of different assets and facets to this. So what I wanted to do first is go round the table, first of all, and get your specific definition for what you think the term for this legal fiction argument and all of that kind of stuff is, how you would actually define your contribution to the movement. Does it work? Does it not? Is it dangerous? Is it safe? That kind of thing. Bill, can we start with you?
Yeah, sorry, Vinny. I had my microphone muted. there's a lot to be said. What happened in the early days with myself was that I thought I was invincible, and because of the information we'd been given out of America, we went out and did all sorts of silly things like taking on the Inland Revenue and the police and all those sort of things, and come and stuck in a big way. So we had to learn that what we were doing down here was quite different to what was happening in America, although similar. And so we've been working on it ever since. Now, it is a minefield, Vinny. It is a minefield, but it's got some very, very simple rules. And if you follow those rules, then you won't get caught. Perhaps the hardest one for people to get their head around is the difference between public and private. Now, because we are continually operating in the public, we find ourselves in trouble because we're in conflict with the system. But the moment we go into the private and ask to talk in private, then the rules change. And if you go into any government corporation now, you'll see a sign on the front counter: if you wish to speak in private, please ask. So the difference between the public and private is huge. And if I can get that message across to everyone out there in radio land, stop operating in the public, stop accepting their contracts because their contracts are flawed, and operate in the private, you'll be okay.
And Clint, what's your summation of the movement and sort of how to go about it, risks and pitfalls?
Well, it's I enjoy the concept of a movement. I enjoy the concept of people getting together and doing things, but in reality, this is an individual thing. This is not something in group, because as he was just saying, the word public literally means, you know, community, nation, state, that sort of thing. It refers to us as common people. And if you look at the word common, it's sort of the same thing as citizen or goyim or Gentile, like the Gentile 20 nations, the G20. It's the lowest common denominator. In other words, it's the, as Webster's Dictionary defines it in 1828, it's the lowest, vulgar class of humans. It's the class or the mass of illiterates. That's what the public actually means. And if you're an illiterate, if you're not learned in the law, if you're not a juror, or if you're not in a juristic society, or community like that, then you need to be governed. And of course, we know that government, means mind control. Mentis is mind. Govern is to control or steer a ship. And we are vessels, of course. Even the Bible refers to us as vessels, our bodies, in other words. So if you control the mind, you control the vessel. Now, the problem, the real distinction that needs to be made is the difference between what a fiction is, a fiction of law, in other words, and what reality is. Now, we use the word truth. Truth is, unfortunately, not a very good word, and if you look it up, you'll find that truth actually means it's the representation of reality. So everybody in the truth movement has a different truth. How many truths are there about 9/11, for instance? There's planes, there's no planes. The truth is this, the truth is that. Well, the only way the truth is actually established in the fiction is for the court to make its opinion of what is truth, or for the jury to decide on what is truth. That is not reality, that is just truth. So truth can be a complete and utter lie, and that's how you know you're in the fiction. So I tell people to ask a very simple question to yourself every time you're considering any subject. Ask yourself one question, For instance, does truth exist in a fiction? Well, the answer is no, it can't. It can only be a fiction. Does a man exist in a fiction? Well, no, he does not. Man is real. Man only exists in reality. Only a person, something artificial, can exist in the fiction. And if you, one last thing, if you, well, two last things. The word straw man, which is sort of what you're calling this, comes from Straminius Homo, which is a Latin term. It means a man of straw, one of no substance, put forth or forward as a bail or surety. Unfortunately, the birth certificate is the initial matrix or initial paper that all bonded indebtedness and surety comes from. So we're basically born into bondage that way. The last thing I'll say is simply the definition of the word lie. Now, again, what is a lie in reality, which is a misrepresentation of reality, and what is a lie in fiction, in government? Turns out, government is the lie. The word lie, in William C. Anderson's 1889 Dictionary of Law, simply means to exist. To lie is to exist. It says, under lie, see a representation. Well, what are you when you're a person in the fiction? You're representing yourself, your physical body and soul, as something that you could call a corporation, soul, S-O-L-E, or something that is not you. So to lie is to exist and to subsist, to be maintainable and sustainable. A willful untruth, a falsehood, a deceit, a decoy, an estoppel, a falsehood, and a representation. So basically everything in the fiction is a lie, and that makes perfect sense when you actually think about it. What is a fiction but a lie? So that's basically your the best I can do at the moment.
All right. Thanks for that. And we got Mark Passio. What's your opinions?
Well, Vinny, I mean, I would have to say that while I do consider that the freeman on the land rid oneself of the legal fiction / legal name movement, for lack of a better term to call it, has some very good philosophical ideas and groundwork, I would have to consider myself one who is actually more extreme in my view of reality than the people involved largely in that movement. And this is because I still consider that many of them are still lending legitimacy to the very concept of government by even giving this entity any of their time or attention whatsoever. What I would consider my take on this to be is that I fall outside of that whole quote movement, because my attitude about government is as probably about as extreme as you can get. I don't think that these individuals who are operating on coercion and violence have any right to one moment of our time, have any right to asking us to do anything, to write anything to them, to say anything to them if we don't wish it and we aren't hurting anybody else. My work has largely stressed the very, very distinct difference between the natural world and the artificial world over and over again. And my work on natural law is about as really simple as it gets when it comes down to understanding the real difference between right and wrong, and understanding how the laws of morality affect and govern the freedom of the people of any given society. So where I would count myself, I had to be honest, I consider myself someone who has really gone beyond and outside of the whole free man on the land movement, because I think any entity that is based on coercion and violence needs to be 100% thoroughly renounced and rejected, to a point where you are essentially saying, don't be involved in my life in any way. I don't need to prove to you that I know anything. I don't need to prove to you that I understand anything that you think I should understand. I don't need to prove that, I don't need to grant you one moment of my time, my energy, my attention. My life is my own. My body is my own property. My mind is my own. And anybody that tries to come in and say that I must do something, that's coercion, that's violence. Anything that says I must not do something that I am currently engaged in doing, although I'm not causing harm to another being, would also be engaged in doing coercion or violence to me. And the people of Earth are basically living under that constant state of duress, that threat of violence, that threat of coercion and violence. And I think the real answer is simply saying, I no longer believe in that fictional entity, and I'm not going to give it any of my energy whatsoever, even to a point of talking to it. I hear so many Freeman on the Land movement individuals saying, well, you have to express yourself to these people. The people that we're talking about in government are psychopaths. They're psychopathic entities. They're intellectual psychopaths that are running and controlling the minds of physical violent psychopaths. I don't need to prove anything to anyone like that. I don't need to explain anything to anyone like that. I don't need them to think that I understand anything that they think I should understand. Psychopaths like that need to be dealt with by telling them you have no right to anything that you are doing, and stop doing it. Otherwise, there will be physical consequences for you continuing to do it. When humanity gets to that point in understanding and understand that they have a right to put that behavior down, then humanity will start moving toward the path of freedom, not one second until. That's my take on it.
I was just letting that sink in there for a second. Can I offer my take on it? Because I think I've got about three takes on them, and they don't necessarily contradict each other. Number one, I believe that the very tenets of the legal documents and the court processes and everything are in the free man's favor. Okay, you got the documents, you got the proof, you got the maxims of law. Everything seems to support it. I also disagree that just because you've actually got the documents that it'll actually work. Because you're not dealing with people who even follow their own rules when they write them down. And not to mention, they have a monopoly on force. And thirdly, the part about this is that, number one, it's a very individual thing. And I think that needs to change, because I see people who come up against this control grid who could bring it to its knees, but because they don't have adequate support in their lives, because their family get attacked, because their businesses get sabotaged, because their personal property gets confiscated, all of which done illegally, we're not talking about something that you can kind of win on your own per se in the broader sense of the word. You're talking about being able to provide an example to others to tread where others have feared to tread and pass on that knowledge. And until such time as a quote unquote movement is actually born where there are support networks for those who go in to the line of fire in order to sustain their mental stability, to protect their assets. Like if there's a bunch of people surrounding a car when a repo man's trying to take it away or something of that nature, he wouldn't be able to take it away. And that kind of physical barrier needs to exist before the full promise of this movement can be realized. I could be wrong. We'll open the floor up now. So, guys, any thoughts, anything to add? Who would like to go first?
Vinny, I'll jump in there if I may. I think you're kind of spot on with your analysis, because it ultimately comes into the realm of action. It's not about intellectual debate or trying to analyze all of the aspects of the fraud that these people who are completely psychopathic and operating as fraudsters put out there for people to try to decode. Once you realize that something is a fraud, you understand there is absolutely zero legitimacy to it, and that person absolutely is not entitled to anything from you. So if you realize you're operating with criminals, you realize you're operating with total liars, you realize you're operating with total psychopaths and complete fraudsters, the thing that ultimately has to be pulled back from, that has to be detached from, is allowing that system of immorality any legitimacy whatsoever in the human mind. And therein lies the problem. when something violent is being done to an individual by government that they had absolutely no right to do? How many people are willing to actually step in and stop that behavior from occurring? You know, this herein lies the problem. We're not never moving anything into the realm of action. You know, people will sit by and record it on their cell phone camera when somebody's actually being violently accosted in a way that if a regular individual that doesn't consider themselves some sort of a god because they're in this mythical entity called government, you know, and have rights that other people don't have. If a normal, quote, normal person were to do that behavior, you know, people would probably jump all over them and stop them from doing it, or at least try to get somebody else to stop them from doing it. But when some, you know, so-called God man that considers himself a part of the quote unquote government that has these rights that actually don't exist in nature does it, then we sit back and allow it legitimacy and videotape it and say, oh, we're going to somehow get you in trouble. You know, the whole thing is, even if you could do something to get a psychopathic group of entities to somehow leave you alone because of some type of wordplay that you're engaging with them in, would that be the right moral thing to do? If they're still accosting and bothering tons and tons of other people, the answer isn't trying to get other people to go along with their power, with their fraud, to get them to somehow leave them alone. The answer is, I am already a sovereign being. It doesn't make a difference what anyone thinks. I'm a sovereign being not because any individual agrees that I am, because I understand it or not. I'm a sovereign being by nature of my existence in the universe of nature. Period. The end, full stop, end of sentence, nothing after it. That's why we're sovereign. Our freedom is a birthright. It is a right of birth. If you exist in the universe, you are a free being. The problem is, so few people understand this, they're willing to lend legitimacy to this immoral system of violence all around us called government and won't fully detach from it into the realm of action and say, we are not going to allow you to continue to perform the actions that you are performing that are based in coercion and violence that you have zero right to do.
Any response from Clint or Bill on those points?
Well, you know, the difficult part about this and part of the learning process, I believe, is to figure out words like sovereignty that are thrown around, you know, like people don't seem to know what they actually mean. Now, if you're claiming to be a sovereign, he just said basically that I am a sovereign, or I am this, or I am that. The whole problem is that we're going past the concept of I am. I exist, and nothing else needs to be said, exactly what he was saying before. Now, if you add I am sovereign on there, you've just made an affirmation, and you need to prove it. So if you just stop at I am, I exist, period, end of story. A monkey in nature doesn't need to prove his existence. He doesn't need a name. He doesn't need anything to give him the justification of living off the land and being a monkey, okay? Nor do I, nor does anybody else. However, when you throw around the sovereign thing, see, if you actually examine the concept of sovereignty, there can only be one sovereign. You can't have a bunch of sovereigns around, because if you're sovereign, that means you're ruling over others. So I don't agree with the concept of a man being sovereign. It's a, if you will, a misrepresentation of what the word actually means. Now, here's the trick. You know, if government is sovereign, that means government is playing God, just like Marx says. So the trick is to say, hey, government, I have another God. Okay, I have this God, and of course the entire structure of law is based on the authorized version of the Bible, which is, again, authorized by the king. So you have to recognize that the Bible plays an extremely important role in all of this. And you can't go without understanding. For instance, Mark is saying you have to have action. Well, guess what? That's what proverbs are for. Pro-verb, pro-action. What does proverbs say? I mean, the Bible basically tells you, if you ignore religion, if you get rid of all the science fiction elements, you know, there's no whale, there's no this, there's no, it's all parables, all stories to make you understand how to stay away from government and religion. I call the Bible the anti-fiction or the anti-religion. It's literally the key to everything is in there, but you have to read it as an independent book away from all the religious doctrines. Of course, the Bible actually says don't add anything to this book. So Proverbs says some very important things all throughout the Bible. What does it say? It says, do not respect straw man. It says, do not respect persons, titles, flattering titles. Do not ever take upon yourself flattering titles. Do not ever become a surety, for you will smart for it. Smart actually means to be put in pain for it. So we're all sureties, as the definition of straw man or strawmanius homo in Latin says, you're an artificial person put forward, a name put forward for bondage and surety purposes. That is completely against this book, this beautiful book that gets completely put aside because it's attached to, artificially attached to these religious doctrines. Now that being said, we go to the word freedom. Freedom is another word that gets thrown around by the patriot community, and they have no idea what it means. Okay, you take the word free, and you take the word D-O-M. Okay, to have D-O-M attached to a word means that something is dominating, or in the position of domination, over that thing. Kingdom, that means the king has dominion over that land. Freedom, unfortunately, if you look it up in any dictionary, especially Bouvier's Law Dictionary of 1856, which is a direct examination of what the intent of the Constitution is supposed to be, that's why it was commissioned by Congress to literally be a dictionary. It's why it's probably the go-to dictionary, that in 1828 Webster's, because it tells you what the intent of the Constitution is. And, of course, it says the Constitution is a debt compact. Constitutors, which is us, are debtors. Citizens are debtors. Okay? So the word freedom literally means, if you are part of the fiction, if you are a citizen of the United States, the word freedom is basically explaining a rat in a cage, a rat in a jurisdictional cage. Freedom means one and only one thing in law. It means to obey the law. No matter how tyrannical, no matter how against the natural law it is, you must obey the law. That's what freedom is. And that was one of the words, when I actually understood what it meant in the legal fiction, in the realm that we all are taking place in our persons, in our straw men, now it all makes sense. As soon as I get out of line, as soon as I start questioning the system, I'm questioning my freedom. And therefore, the dominating force, and government only exists through force and nothing else. So if you're self-governing, as Marx says, you better be prepared to protect your law, your own freedom, your freedom under God or whatever you want to call it, the laws of nature, doesn't matter. You don't have to believe in some white-haired guy in the sky. The point is, if you're going to claim freedom, you better know exactly what that word is, how it's being used, as well as every other word you use, because there's, you know, the legal version of words is the opposite of the vernacular, the common vulgar vernacular, the ones we use in common parlance every day as us vulgar citizens out here, us massive illiterates. The legal language is like the mirror image or the opposite. For instance, the word live, can you live in a fiction? No. So what's the opposite of live? Evil. So fiction, what is fiction? It's evil. It's really that simple. And so these words like freedom and liberty, there's natural liberty and there's political liberty. When we say the Federal Reserve, for instance, is independent from the government. Well, no, it's not. It's politically it's independent, but naturally it's not. Congress created it. There's no independence. It's political. It doesn't mean what it does in the natural world. Political freedom is what we have as citizens, and that means one and only one thing, that we must obey the law. So we have to get our terms straight before we have to know the language, because if you don't know the meaning of the words you're using in the legal parlance, in the fiction, they're going to destroy you. They're going to catch you every time. If you don't know the meaning of your words have no meaning. And I'll pass it off.
A friend of mine was asking, you know, Vinny, how can I keep the council from coming onto my property and like surveilling it and you know, taking a chunk out of my ass if I build something they don't want? And I go, I don't know, 50 caliber machine gun nest at the driveway edge, you know, because unless you're really willing to repel any invaders physically, they're going to come on your land sooner or later.
Well, think about it this way. Just one real quick. Everything that you register in your straw man name, okay, that's your Christian given name, your first name, and combined with your straw man, your surname, if you look up surname, you'll see in the dictionaries, that means literally that you have registered your property with government. That means government owns your property, and you have the right merely of use, okay? You're a user of the person. You're a user of the name. You're a user of the property that's under the name. If you copyright something, you're copywriting it in your name, which is actually government's name. So we own nothing. Everything has been taken from us. All of our inheritable rights have been taken from us because we act as straw men instead of as ourselves. So for him to keep them off of his property, it would have to be his property, not registered to government. So that government doesn't own the property. They come on the property anytime they want because it's their property. It's their money. It's not your money. You use the money and you're charged usury for it. So you have to ask the right question. Do I, the man, own property in the fiction? No, absolutely not. Your name owns the property and the name is the property of government. So there you go.
Or as George Bush would say, is our children learning? Bill, you've been silent there for a while there. You want to jump in?
Couldn't get a word in edgeways. just a slight correction there. They don't own our property. We actually have quiet possession of the property. They own the title. And that's in scripture where it says, you want a king, I'll give you a king, but I will take a tenth of your land, I'll take a tenth of everything. So they took title, which is 10, is 1/10. Possession is 9/10. The other 10th is title. So they hold title to everything. Now, all roads, unfortunately, lead back to Rome. It was way back when the Pope issued the papal bulls to put the whole world into trust. And so we've been in trust ever since. And so understanding trust law and estate law is the key to understanding this whole thing. But last year, in July last year, when the new Pope came in, because the old Pope would not give up the reins, so the new Pope came in and said, look, the age of Aquarius is over. We now have to move into the age of Pisces. So the age of Pisces is over. We now need to move into the age of Aquarius. So what he said was from September last year, anyone working in their system no longer had immunity. That's why Bernanke and all the top chiefs around the world resigned, because they now know that they no longer have that immunity and they're going to get done for it. Couple of other things. And the Bible is the key to it, as the previous spokesman said. Everything is contained in the scripture. And if you go to the scripture, you will find exactly the same in the statute. So statute is the public side of the Bible, which is the private. Okay, so understanding the way out of the system is understanding the difference between the public and the private. Now, when you're a lawyer, you go through university and get a law degree and you get an LLB. Well, the last part is right. You get a Bachelor of Law, but what about the first L? They took the C out of it because you're supposed to learn canon law and the statute law, but they don't get taught the canon law in university. And the reason they don't is because then the people would understand the system. So how I have been studying is from the Bible. I then go to the statute and then work out where it is. Now, I've finally cracked the code, Vinny, and it's...
Before you tell us the code, I've got a joke to insert here. Speaking of statutes, you know when you walk up to somebody and he's really, really still, what do you say to him? Statue, bro?
Yes.
It's just so awful. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, yeah. -3. Okay, it's all about the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. Now, up until last week, I hadn't put the three things into place, but we've finally found it now. The Father is the information that your mother or father put onto the registration form. Now, the interesting thing about the registration process, Birth, Deaths and Marriages Act, you don't need to notify born, children who are born. You only need to notify people who are birthed. So if you go and look up birth, what it says, birth includes a stillborn. So in other words, birth is only a stillborn, so you're registering a dead thing. So they're telling you right away. However, the father, when he puts the information in, the first form that comes out is the source document. So he's putting that in and he's acting as agent for the child, giving the child away to the state. Now the next document, and I'm only talking about New Zealand here, I know the Americans have short form and long form birth certificates, but ours is called a printout. Now that identifies the live born child. So that's, so far we've got the father who gave away his only begotten son by filling in the information and registering a dead bastard. The son is identified on the printout, and then the Holy Ghost is identified with the birth certificate. Now, on our birth certificates, at the bottom of the birth certificate, it's got a warning. This document does not, I'll read it verbatim. Warning, this certificate is not evidence of the identity of the person presenting it. So you're presenting the Holy Ghost and you have to suffer for the rest of your life because you used the wrong identity. If you had used the source document, you'd be free of the matrix. And that is the matrix, the first document, which was the source document. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, what it says in the Bible is the only way you can get to the Father is through the Son, because he's the only one living. Gee, that silenced everyone.
I'm all right. But Clint needs to say something about the definition of the actual matrix in there. You've got some Skype notes I think you should read out, man.
Well, the concept of, you know, we actually have to keep asking the same question. What does it mean to be born or birthed into a fiction, right? You can't. There's no life in a fiction. So the word birth from Ballantyne's Legal Dictionary, the third edition, birth means delivery from the womb. Womb means is also another word for matrix. Matrix is defined in the civil law as the protocol, like he was saying, the protocol or first draft of a legal instrument from which all copies must be taken. So that original certificate of birth is from whence all fiction comes, basically, is that's the definition of matrix, a womb, a place where anything is generated or formed. Well, the only thing that can be generated or formed in a fiction is something fictional, something artificial, something dead. So if birth means delivery, what does delivery mean? You could say it's delivery, but delivery means, in the same dictionary, a handing over, the surrender of possession to another, a release from imprisonment. So my mother, when she signs the birth certificate, She is signing not as my mother, but as an informant of the state. She is literally, basically.
Hey, whoa. Let me see if you get this straight. Are you calling your mother a quasi-Stasi?
Absolutely. And all mothers out there who have no idea that they're signing a matrix, they're signing their child into a matrix. Literally, the word matrix is being used here as a legal function. So if I'm surrendering my child, I'm yielding possession. Okay, so now I only have my child in title. I just have the certificate. I can use the child. I can take care of the child. And there's some horrible documents or court opinions out there that absolutely state that the marriage is a marriage. Marriage means a contract between the man, the woman, and the state. Period. End of story. And the state is parents patria, parent of the country, parent of the state is the parent. The state allows the parents to raise the children as long as they're good citizens, as long as the state's beneficial interest is in having the parents raise its property. That's the unfortunate truth of the matter. Now, birth, from William C. Anderson's Dictionary of Law in 1889, is very specific. What is birth? Well, it doesn't tell you. It says, see, abandon. What is abandon? To relinquish, surrender, disclaim, desert, forsake, give up, wholly. So, basically, you're absolutely right. It's the Trinity. You're basically allowing the state to become the father. By being the informant, it's hard to explain, but you're informing, like you're informing on, like as a witness to a crime. You're literally accusing your child of being something it's not. And you're forming or informing, a new human, which is not man, but the form of man. They want us to believe that we are human, which means no God, you know, that the humanities and philanthropy and that sort of thing is strictly the notion that humans can take care of themselves without the notion of the natural, without God, basically, without the concept of God. So there's this, yeah, he's right, man, there's this whole thing going on, and it's all based on that Trinity concept. I call it mind, body, and soul. Basically the same thing presented as a biblical, you know, thing. So yeah, you're yielding your child or surrendering the possession of your child to the state, basically.
Mm-hmm. And Mark, what does natural law have to say about this? Isn't there like a trinity in there too with the natural law concepts?
Absolutely there is, Vinny. The trinity, as seen from a natural law perspective, is the aspects of the manifestation of one's consciousness in the physical world, namely our thoughts, our emotions, and our actions. Or in other words, the father, the spirit, and then the child, which is the offspring. Okay, the male child, which is action, is the offspring of our thoughts, the father, and our spirit, the mother. You know, the spirit in which we do something. And when, you know, our thoughts and our care come together, then the byproduct of those things is right action in the world. That's the real trinity in consciousness. But I'd like to just go back briefly and just touch on something that was said earlier, which I'd like to just respectfully disagree with the definition of the word sovereign that was given as being a ruler over others. If the word sovereign is actually broken down and we look at the real meaning of the roots of the word sovereign, it actually is a negative definition. Okay, so the word sovereign comes from two Latin root words, the adverb super in Latin, which means above, and the Latin regnum, meaning rulership or control. So, thus when we put these two root words together, you have a sovereign, which means one who is above the rulership or control of another. It's not saying that you are ruling over others. A sovereign simply means that you are not ruled by anybody else in the physical domain. Okay. It means you are not a subject or a slave to any other. That's simply what the word means. Again, it's a negative definition. It means not a slave by its very breakdown etymologically. Now, a sovereign is a ruler, however, but it is a ruler of the self. A sovereign, a true sovereign, only rules one individual, and that individual is themselves, the physical incarnate being in the body. They have control over the thoughts, emotions, and actions of exactly one being, themselves. Now, traditionally, historically, yes, people have referred to sovereigns as meaning kings or queens in the world who are rulers over others. But again, I'm distinguishing this from the actual real, that in nature definition of the word compared to how people have historically interpreted it, you know, through human language and over human history. Now, with that being said, to go into, you know, what I feel is the solution to all of this regarding our understanding of nature versus fiction, you have to look at it like this. There is no use of words, no intellectual constructs, no intellectual only based understanding that will ever make a psychopath leave you alone in nature, in the natural world. And this is what we're ultimately talking about here. We're talking about the way people relate to other people through their behaviors. And this is the part that I feel is neglected often in the whole straw man, legal fiction, free man on the land movement, whatever you want to name it. Okay? You look at it as a simple example. Would you try or to make an effort to deeply understand all the intellectual aspects of how a con man's con game works? Would you go through the effort to try to really deeply understand how he defrauded you and then try to negotiate somehow with him to reclaim what was wrongfully, fraudulently taken from you? Or would you just make a deep understanding within your being that a con man is simply a criminal who had no right to ever do what he is doing or did, never will have that right, and then treat him as the criminal that he is? You know, what seems the more realistic and natural approach?
Well, see, for me,
intellectual understanding will only get you so far toward true human freedom. Holistic understanding incorporates a deep knowledge of the difference between right and wrong behavior, which is what natural law is. You know, it's the universal, non-man-made, existing in the natural world, inherently binding conditions and unchangeable conditions that govern the consequences of the behavior that we take in the world. And in the aggregate, our behaviors are actually creating whether we are enslaved or whether we are free or not. And only unless people understand that body of universal spiritual laws which act as the governing dynamics to human consciousness, are we ever going to get out of the situation of enslavement that we've worked ourselves into.
See, I've got a different approach. I mean, I've got a bit of a bad history with police and courts and everything. I just basically figured out a while ago that if you tell the truth to a police officer, he'll use it against you and even lie on top of it in order to mess up your life. And the same idea, I kind of got involved with the courts and justices and even getting experience with associating with gang members and things like that with certain people. And I get the idea, the impression that nothing good can come from the situation. Everything they offer you, they can take you away. Everything they give you, everything they tell you is going to be really nice and easy for you, actually winds up being really hard and you can never escape it. So my body doesn't react like it used to before having those experiences. I get a massive stress response when even thinking about going to a courtroom or approaching a police officer, even if I've done absolutely nothing wrong, even if I'm the one doing the approaching. And because of that, well, I think maybe I'll try to use the worst term possible for it, cowardice and unwillingness to actually take the system head on at points, or even really even deal with them when they come to me. I try to overcompensate for that by doing my part to help those people who are willing to do those things that I'm too cowardly to do. Have I compensated enough? I'm not 100% sure that I have, but I'm doing the best with what I got. Because the free man movement really needs a hell of a lot of help, and it needs a hell of a lot of understanding, and it needs hell of a lot of spreading and whatnot. And somebody needs it to be a stable kind of back block there to help pick you up when you fall, sort of thing. And I don't know if I'm doing the right thing.
I recommend two books specifically, one being the Bible and specifically the 1611, because that's the law. And I recommend that people read The Law by Frederic Bastiat, a French guy, wrote it in 1850, a year before he died. The Law to me was a life changer. It was a pamphlet. It wasn't a book. It was a political statement that was being handed out at the time. And it really defined what law is supposed to be. That the law is not supposed to have any more power than any other individual out there. The law is just another individual. Unfortunately, it's the force of law. And that generally gets screwed up. So that's what you're seeing is the law being used for something it's not supposed to be used for, which is basically lawful plunder. The problem that people have, in my opinion, is simply, when you were there, you were acting as Vinnie Eastwood, a slave to the New Zealand government or wherever. I mean, you literally are acting, you're an actor portraying the part in a fictional tale, and therefore you're bound by the laws of that fictional thing. So if you're acting in the name, and you give them your name, and you say, I am Vinnie Eastwood, instead of I exist, I am what I am, and I don't need to tell you anything else. Well, if you're acting as the person, then you're taking responsibility for the freedom that is allowed to you. And freedom is not a right. It's a privilege, because you're acting as something that is not free. So freedom is, again, granted to you. You can roam around the rat cage all you want, as long as you don't try to escape it or break the rules of the rat cage. That's freedom.
Can I say that that's actually kind of the unwritten rule of democracy, is you've got freedom of speech. You can say anything you want, so long as it doesn't actually change anything.
Sure. Well, that's the most important thing I learned. And again, this is the true awakening process. Most people, when they say they're awake, all they really want to do is blame the stupid people, the unawake, for all the problems. And as Mark is saying, not do any action at all. You want to do anything in law, you have to go to court. So you just want to blame somebody. Oh, I hear music.
Yeah, and we're going to blame the network for having breaks and stuff like that. Well, we cut to one and regather our thoughts and whatnot. You're with Vinnie Eastwood on TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. My very special guests, Clint Richardson, Mark Passio, and Bill Turner, will return, so long as they don't get raided in the interim. We'll be right back.
message to our listeners. Revolution Radio is you. Thanks to your continuous support and participation, Revolution Radio will embark on
in its fifth year. Woo-hoo!
Bigger and better than ever. You, the listeners, have made Revolution Radio what it is. The number one commercial-free talk radio station on the web with nearly 24 hours of live programming, delivering directly to you the most cutting-edge information available. You, the listeners, have become some of our most popular radio hosts. You, the listeners, offer feedback that molds our programming to appeal to a worldwide audience. You, the listener, provide eyes on the ground, reporting about newsworthy events in your area, and you, the listener, are the lifeblood of this station. We love you, and thank you for being a treasured member of our Revolution Radio family. From all of us to all of you, have a happy and safe holiday season. Let's make this new year a success once again together. Thank you.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host,